It's really nice seeing everybody. I hope my voice isn't too bad today. Last week, some of you knew that I couldn't speak, period. Anyway, I certainly enjoyed that message that Mr. McKeon gave, and I enjoyed that song, El Shaddai. In the message, Mr. McKeon said, "Let your light shine so that men will see your good works." And that's why we're here. We are here to learn how to let our lights shine. Welcome to our guest, and welcome to the friends. Welcome everybody, and we hope that others will be able to be back here next week with us in good health. We miss them. We miss them all. Recently at the hospital I volunteer at, I attended a training class on teamwork. Simply put, a team will fall apart when team members insist on elevating themselves or their ideas to the top at the diminishing of others in their team. Here's a definition for teamwork that I got. People working together in a committed way to achieve a common goal or mission. The work is interdependent and team members share responsibility and hold themselves accountable for attaining results. In an article entitled, "A Team is More Than a Group of People," it was about a Canadian team that successfully climbed Mount Everest in 1982. And here's what it had to say. I'm going to quote this whole little article. It's really not that long. When John Amott led the 1982 Canadian team on a successful Mount Everest expedition, only three people reached the summit. Many climbers who were part of the team, whose lifetime ambition was to stand on top of Mount Everest, made the conscious choice to stay in the base camp. Why? Because they knew the effort was likely to fail if everyone tried to make it to the top. They chose to forego their individual dreams in favor of helping the team succeed. This wasn't John Amott's first time to plan an Everest expedition. 10 years earlier, with one of his friends from Norway, he had garnered a team of world-class mountain climbers from many different countries for the challenge. But at the last minute, he backed out. Officially, it was to get married, but that was just an excuse, he said later. I knew that despite having the best climbers in the world, this expedition would not succeed. Everyone wanted to reach the top for their own glory and the glory of their country. No one seemed willing to make decisions for the good of the team. His fears proved founded, very well founded. Not only did the team not cooperate to make it to the top, at one point, these sophisticated expert climbers even indulged in a rock-throwing fight. Imagine that, in the high mountains of the Himalayas, throwing rocks just so the other guy would not make it to the top. So what does this have to do with our Christian walk? Let me quote out of Deuteronomy 5:29 out of the New King James Version. And most of my references will be out of the New King James Version. It says this, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and their children forever." The title of my split sermon today is, "The Heart of a Servant is Humility." Therefore, what kind of people should we be? Let me read this out of Isaiah 66:2. "But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." There's a lot of people that give the Bible lip service, but they don't tremble at the word of God. In several places in the New Testament, particularly in the King James Version, we'll find the word abased. Simply put, abased means to lower or diminish in rank. This is so different than wanting to play king of the mountain. The word has much to do with being cast down and made low, especially in one's own eyes. Let's read what it has to say in Matthew 23:12. And this I'm going to read out of the King James Version. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The words abased and humble actually come from the same word, same Greek word, tapeneo, if I pronounce that correctly. Somebody of Greek ancestry will tell me differently later. This is repeated in two other places, Luke 14:11 and Luke 18:14, where it says, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." The Apostle Paul had this to say in Romans 12:3. I'm going to turn there in my Bible. Romans 12:3. Paul says this, "For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." And continuing in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function." Each of us have been given talents and skills and abilities. Not everyone has the same capabilities. Some have what we might consider greater abilities, and yet each one of us is important to God. And we should be living in peace and in harmony without trying to elevate self and saying, "Look how important I am." We know through all the struggles and trials that we have gone through, and I hear about things day by day, that God brings us up and he brings us down. But how do we deal with those things? How do we deal, like if I was at working in the laboratory where I used to work, if I was moved out of a position that was of authority, and then I was moved into a secondary position, how would I deal with that on the job? If I didn't deal with it correctly, I would lose that job very quickly. We should never think of ourselves more highly than we should. We should think of ourselves as part of a greater overall calling. As Christians, we are called, and we are to live certain ways. The Apostle James in James 1:25 had this to say, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." We in our lives will be blessed for obedience to God. But there are seasons of trial, there's seasons of struggle, there's season of testing our character, our fortitude, and our humility. Most of us, one way or the other through the years, have gone through these things. I talk to many people, and many people have run on highs, and then next time you see them, something happened, and they're running low. And they struggle through life. Yet, we are not left alone. We have an advocate. We have Jesus Christ, who is all-powerful, who is there to serve us, to help us, and guide us. Yet we need obedience. What is our battle that we fight? What is our struggle with this thing we call human nature? In Romans 8:7, it has this to say. I'm not going to read there. I'll just pull this out of my notes. Basically, Romans 8 says, 8:7 says, the natural mind is enmity or hostility towards God. We see that. We see that in the world today. A lot of people give lip service in politics, in the news media, in the entertainment world. And even some Christians give lip service. Yet in their actions, they're hostile and they have enmity towards God. A friend at Banner Boswell asked me a question. What is the Eve syndrome? The answer was, take someone with you. What is the Adam syndrome? She did it. Thus we have the beginning of mankind's key to the troubles of this age. No one taking the blame and blaming others for their difficulties and problems. Let's turn to an example in the Old Testament of Eli in 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. And I'm going to skip to verse 17. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offerings of the Lord. Let's jump ahead. 1 Samuel 2, 22. 1 Samuel 2, 22. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. So he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people, not my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. And continuing into verse 25, if one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. Now, that seems like an unusual statement. Yet, there's a simple explanation. Before going on, I'm going to explain that. It says that the Lord desired to kill them. Remember, and you could put this in your notes, Ezekiel 18:32 says, for I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. Ezekiel 33:11 says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? The Lord desired that these men die because they were unrepentant. They did not want to repent. They did not want to change. Each of us should be willing to change when we see things that we are doing in error. Let's continue on in verse 27. Then a man of God came to Eli, said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house, your father, to the house of your father, when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel by fire? Therefore, why do you kick at my sacrifice, my offerings, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? We see that often in families. doesn't make any difference whether they're high rank in the nation or low rank. People will defend themselves. They will defend their families no matter how evil or how wicked. I lived in a neighborhood one time, and I remember reading about, and I probably repeated this story before, this family wanted to get out of a certain area of Phoenix. They wanted to have a wedding where it would be peaceful. And they moved to a place that was just north, where they had the wedding, about a mile north of where I lived. They were at the wedding, and at the wedding, it was the best man or one of the attendants shot and killed some people. Here they wanted to leave the problems of the area that they lived in, but the problems of the area they lived in was not from the area. It was from within their own families. How tragic. We run, we hide. We are afraid to accept responsibility for our failures, for our shortcomings. Here we have, we've just finished an election. Some people are elated. Some people are depressed. Some people have hope. Some people have great fear. Yet an ironic thing about it is during the election, you often heard some people would say, well, let's not worry about moral issues. Let's just worry about the economics. It doesn't work that way. Some of the economic issues were because of greed, not just from the little people, but from big people. The temperaments of people don't square with the reality of what God would have us to do. There's changes of administration. There's been changes of administrations in many countries, but it has not fixed the problems of the world. It has not fixed our problems at home. It has not fixed the multitude of problems in the continent of Africa or Asia or even Europe at this time. There's difficulties no matter where you go. Men do fall short of what God would have them to do. Men do not always obey what God would have them to do. A lot of people think they're better than others. It's ironic how sometimes you hear news people say, well, those people are just crazy. They just don't have a clue. And yet the news media themselves, they don't have much of a clue either. They push certain agendas, even as politicians will push certain agendas for expediency, not because of obedience to God. It is a shame what we do, that we often forget that so much is linked in this country to obedience or disobedience to God. It doesn't come from a humble attitude. It comes from, I want this, and I want the best for me, and I want the best for my blood, for my family, and they don't worry about others. As a side note, we just went through another Halloween season. I just read an article this week, and I thought it was quite fascinating. Just on that one night, the days before it, and maybe a day or so afterwards, people spent $5.7 billion on Halloween alone, with $1.8 billion going into candy. I bet the dentists love that. Some Christians, and you hear more and more about it, they salve their consciences about Halloween, and they call it a harvest festival. Yet, they would deny the festivals of the Bible. They would deny obedience to the Bible and obedience to God and pick and choose whatever they want for their own religions and their own expediency. Let's return back to the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel 8:7. And what I had just mentioned about the people going off to a wedding somewhere and having difficulty there, this is interesting. Samuel's sons did not do the right thing either. In verse 7. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say, for all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." As a nation, Israel rejected God, and they wanted a different form of rulership. "Give us a king. Give us a king." And God gave them a king. They came to wonder what happened later when it didn't work out exactly the way they thought. In the book of Proverbs, there's so much wealth of information in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 3:34, "Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory." Everybody's seeking glory. Everybody's seeking to be on top, or so it seems. People exalt themselves, their team, their party spirit. Put themselves up and reduce somebody else to the bottom. But we can't do that. We as Christians are not allowed to do that. We are not allowed to elevate self at the demise of other people. Here's a warning to the exalted people, those who feel they're exalted. In Matthew 7:22, and these are in the words of Christ, the red letter, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' Christ then said, 'Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" These were people in the know, who should have known better, who should have lived better, who should have worked with people a lot better. Each of us can get caught up in a spiral of thinking more of ourselves than we really should. Of course, from then, you know the rest of the story. Though we may seem on top, our spiritual course is going downhill rapidly. Another person at the hospital that very same day that I had that training session said this about her nephew Zachary, and I thought this was a pretty good comment. Her little boy Zachary said, "I wanted to be good. I tried to be good, but I just can't do it." Picture your grandsons, your granddaughters, or somebody saying that to you. The impact of understanding the depth of it. It is just tough. I see a few chuckles out there. It was tough for me when I bit that little boy when I was a kid. I just couldn't help it. Somebody else made me do it. That's what human nature is all about. Placing self on top of the heap. This past July or August, a friend reminded me there were some discussions going on, and it reminded me of what it said in Psalm 15, 1-5. And he was discussing a discussion group on Facebook. And I was on a discussion group not associated with the church. And it was really good in the beginning. Then somehow, somewhere along the line, it got sour. And by springtime of last year, it was getting downright ugly. And I could tell you later what was said, some of the things that was said. It was extremely ugly. And then I didn't have time to go on that for several months. And I asked a man that I had met via Facebook on the forum, and I said, "What happened? Where is this forum?" He said it got so bad that the people that did the forum just dropped it. Even in a worldly sense, it was not a place for people to be nurtured spiritually. Here's what it says in Psalm 15, 1-5. Verse 1, Psalm 15. "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart." Verse 3. "He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to their own hurt and does not change." I wondered what that means, to swear to your own hurt. Sometimes, in my perspective, you just take the hit and not have to fight back, as so many people feel they must, in verbal gymnastics and verbal pugilism. Jesus Christ suffered the ultimate, and he did not strike back. We just sometimes have to take the hit. Humble ourselves. Each of us should be a humble servant of God. There's a time coming when nations will be brought low. This is our duty as Christians before God, to follow humbly as he declared to us. The Apostle Paul had this to say in Philippians 4:12. "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Paul had seasons where he was abased and where he was lifted up. There are times and seasons for all of us where we run high, times when we run low. No matter the time, we need to remain strong in our Lord and Savior. As it says in Ecclesiastes 3:3-4, "There are seasons of weeping and seasons of laughter. There's times to build, there's times to tear down. There will be times when we will be brought high. There will be times when we will be brought low." Just a couple of weeks ago, I think I was running on a high. After I came down with my bronchial issue last week, I was feeling a little low. And there were other issues. There's always family issues with all of us. There's always interactions with coworkers. There's always interaction with somebody that you meet that is really sour towards you. But how do we deal with that? At the hospital, we are very careful as a volunteer how we deal with people, because there's people that may be upset, but they're suffering loss, and it is not my duty to help them suffer a greater loss by being angry. There's ways to deal with those things. In Hebrews 11, 24 to 25, it speaks about Moses. Hebrews 11, 24 to 25. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Wow. How could you turn down being vice president? How could you turn down being one of the ultra rich in this nation? Can you resist that temptation? Well, Moses resisted. He knew he couldn't go that route. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Human nature does tend to puff one up. But in Matthew 18:3, it has this to say, and again, the words of Jesus Christ. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. I know sometimes little kids shout, scream, but there's sometimes such wonderful innocence. It was interesting to see things going on earlier. Sometimes adults, new people would come in and they'd hesitantly go up to people and talk. There was a new little girl today. Next thing I know, within minutes, she's found friends. And she's here, she's there, she's everywhere. And they're all giggling and having fun and enjoying each other's time together innocently. If we are willing to be abased, a time will come when we will be exalted. The Apostle Peter, in one of the letters, said this, in 1 Peter 5:5-6, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. That doesn't mean someone of higher rank shouldn't have humility. They too, there's a warning in the Bible that they too will be cast off if they don't have that humility, if they don't treat people well. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. There are times when we all need to take backstage. We don't have to be in the forefront all the time. In Ezekiel 21:26, it has this to say, Ezekiel 21:26. Thus says the Lord God, remove the turban, take off the crown. Nothing shall remain the same. Exalt the humble and humble the exalted. So if I get the feeling that I'm something special, I'd better be careful. God is going to deal with that ill-conceived idea and allow me to be humbled in a manner that I will not like. So obey what God has to say. There are so many difficulties and concerns around the world. There's job losses, economic disarray. And I've talked to people, one fellow I heard about, the wife mentioned that he was out of work for 2 years. And I know that there's been people here that have been out of work as long. Well, he was out of work for 2 years. People could turn angry and bitter over this. People do turn angry and bitter over this. People use benefits. In France, they riot. That could happen here, too. It shouldn't. We like to call ourselves a Christian nation. So many people around the world are just drawing battle lines. The United States is not as popular as it used to be. Some of it may be self-caused. Some of it God is allowing to happen because we will not heed what God wants us to do. There seems to be very little healing and binding in the world. There's a lot of talk. On one hand, years ago, you used to hear about people say, save the Tibetans, save the Tibetans. Then you don't hear anything. Now it's save the people in this southern Sudan. But nothing gets saved. The wars and the strife continue. People just use causes to elevate themselves to the top and not do anything. A few weeks ago, our pastor, Mr. Scriber, talked about John the Baptist, who in a sense was a type of church going before the Lord. He had a mission of putting the emphasis on Christ, not on himself, but the emphasis on Christ. Even as a church now, we are to prepare for the Lord with a warning message and showing a humble example to people around us. In closing, many may think we have it made. Yet throughout the year, we need to examine ourselves, not just one time of the year around the Passover season. We need to examine ourselves weekly, daily, the moment sin creeps into our lives or temptation creeps into our lives. In the beginning, I spoke about the mountain climbers who around 1972 wanted to be first and foremost to the top of the mountain. They all failed in that attempt because they cast stones at each other. That reminded me of a scripture from John 8:7. And it says, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first, referring to the woman who had sinned. In a recent message, Dennis Luker said this from 1 Peter 1:6-7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may it be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you remember nothing else from this message, remember this last quote from Proverbs 18:12, and before honor is humility.